All right, how is everyone doing this morning? Good, good. Any praises, any prayer requests for this morning before we come and gather on a Sunday and kick off our day of rest and day of worship? Any praises or thanksgivings this morning that you just want to say, hey, you know what? I want to give thanks to God for this. He carried me through this. I want to give thanks to God for this. I want to praise God because He is so what?
I want to thank God for Daniel's recording.
Oh, Daniel's recordings. Oh, okay.
Because I could listen to him and I could repeat it.
Oh, okay. Good. Oh, praise God. I don't know how I sound on recording. But I don't know. I don't. I've heard myself on recording a few times, and I sound like a chipmunk to me. Because I know my voice is lower. Yeah. See, I think my voice is low, and then when I hear myself, I'm like, wow, this does not sound good. And then I was in my preaching class where you have to record yourself preaching, and in preaching class, usually the professor's behind a closed window. The whole class, every single person, imagine every single person in the class has an evaluation sheet front and back. And they're basically tearing apart your sermon from the beginning to the end. And then part of the assignment is you have to read all the feedback. While you're giving your sermon, the professor is making comments while you're preaching. Like, you can't hear him. Like, he would say, like, that's not biblical. Or, hey, you know, or he'll be like, you're using your hands. You put your hands in your pockets, that's not good, you know, things like that. Or you're hiding behind the pulpit, you know, he'll give comments. And I would almost be willing to take a lower grade if I didn't have to listen to myself preach. Because it sounds weird.
No.
But,
Chipmunk is better than Donald Duck.
Chipmunk is better than Donald Duck. Right, see, there's always a silver lining, right? Good, so... All right, well, thank God for that. Any other thanksgivings or prayer requests?
Pray for the people that in place that have natural disasters.
Yes, that's right. You know, I emailed your mom, and I said, hey, you know what, I've been praying for your husband. How's he doing? She didn't respond to me. She responded to me on other stuff. You know, she's working on some slide for Thanksgiving, you know. But
she always asks me for some.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good. How is your dad doing?
Oh, he's good.
He's back safe, right?
Yeah, but he went to Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Okay. Yeah, good. I was praying for his safety to be able to return. Yeah, let's pray for all those. It's not even in the United States, right? You know, Cuba, Mexico, the earthquake in Mexico, I think Dominican Republic. So let's definitely pray for people around the world. Anything else this morning? Prayer requests, praises. How about on the back table over there?
I have a request.
Mm.
The best will say, you are my handsome man, even more times.
Oh, that my wife will actually say that I'm a handsome man. Okay, good, yes. That's a I shared that you said that you said you're my handsome man the first time yesterday.
First time.
That's right, first time ever. So,
I want to share one thing. There was a brother come here a couple of times, and he actually lived in Florida, and then this Tony. Yeah, I emailed him last week.
Oh, okay.
It's fine.
Good. He's a friend of yours, and Tony.
No, he come here because his daughter is in this area.
Oh, okay.
For the residency,
okay.
He come to visit.
Oh, wow.
While he come to visit, he come to Archer.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So he lives in Florida. But he's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
His family is okay.
Praise God. Thank God. Anything else? Praise, prayer requests?
Sarah's sick.
Okay. Pray for Sarah this morning. Okay. Good.
Lucy, her wisdom teeth.
That's right. Lucy just got her wisdom teeth pulled, right? Okay, we'll pray for her. Anything else? Hey, would someone mind going downstairs and turning on and off the AC again? The wind's blowing, but it might have been like, thank you. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning as we come before you. Lord, quiet our hearts. Remind us, Father, that we are coming before our King. We're coming before our God, and we have the chance to look into your word, which reveals to us, which teaches us more about yourself. And it is, as the Bible says, like a mirror. Lord, if we don't look at a mirror in the morning, we may not see that our face is messy or our hair is messy or we're not put together well. Lord, the scriptures, Lord, are a mirror for our own life. That when we read the scripture, we would see where we are before you. And we would see all those parts of our life that are still a bit messy and in need of your help to transform us. I thank you that we are a group of brothers and sisters that are all coming before you with the same prayer request, that we are not perfect. When we might even see each other on Sundays, we might even think that everyone else is okay, but the reality is we are all in many areas not yet transformed into the likeness of Christ. And so I pray this morning that you would not only use your word to show us more about you, but also show us about ourselves, not in a selfish way, Lord, but that we know we need to be transformed. And your word has the power to do that. So we pray this in faith, Lord. And God, I just want to pray, Father, for all the different prayer requests, Lord, we heard this morning. We do thank you, whether it's for the recordings. We do thank you, whether it's for the weather, for just being here. But we also pray, Father, for those around this world, especially on this Sunday morning. First, for those believers, those Christians, whether they're in Houston or Florida on the southern coast or all around the world where earthquakes or hurricanes or, as our sister brought up, any natural disasters that have affected people in the world. First, I want to pray for those believers who are possibly not even able to be in a church building this morning because maybe the church was destroyed or maybe they're still just struggling to find family members. I pray that you be their comfort. And I pray that if it's possible that they would have that desire. I'm sure that there's some Christians around the world that even though they've been struck by natural disaster, they're still gathering together this morning, even without a building. Gathering around your word, gathering around music, gathering around fellowshipping in the Spirit. Lord, I pray for them in the midst of their suffering that they would find joy. And they would be able to worship you with us on this day of rest. Father, I also pray for those who are non-saved, those who are non-believers around the world, that Christians, as they gather this morning in those places, they would know that one of the greatest opportunities that they have right now is to reach those who are not saved. And I know that there are Christians around the world heading into the danger zones to help. And I pray that they would bear the witness of Christ as well. Lord, we pray that because of these natural disasters, even the unbelieving would see the shortness, the brevity of life, and they would see the need to come before you soon. Father, I pray for those, even like Ke Ping, he mentioned that one brother and his family, Tony. I lift them into your hands. I'm also thankful that they're okay. But Lord, we continue to pray for Tony. I don't remember him, but I pray for him and his family and their faith. I lift them into your hands, Lord. And this morning, we also remember brothers and sisters that are sick and not feeling well. We pray for, as our sister brought up, Sarah and even Lucy, who are unable to join us this morning because they're maybe under the weather, not feeling well. Father, we pray for those who are not here and under the weather. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will sustain them. Hopefully, you'll bring them here into fellowship and have a chance to worship together soon. Lord, I thank you for prayer, that we have a chance to lift all these things into your hands. You are the great and awesome God, and we have confidence in praying to you And we thank you for gathering your children together this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay. All right. How has your studies in Isaiah been? Okay. Last week, we kind of ended on this place. Okay. What did we say? What was your reading like? What did we say as you've been reading in the devotionals in Isaiah 13 through 23? What have you been feeling and seeing and experiencing that? What did I teach you guys about Isaiah 13 through 23? What has that been about? Remember, we talked about this at the towards the end of last Sunday. You guys have been, you know, all the way from the beginning of this month, I think chapter 13, I don't have my devotional with me this morning, but I think it might have even started before this month. No, I think we started in chapter 11 this month, or 13? 11, right? Okay, 11. But so throughout this month, we've been reading through some tough passages. Remember I said that? I asked you guys, how many of you guys felt that reading in Isaiah is hard? And a lot of you guys said, yes, it is hard. We're not used to reading so much prophecy, so much, and especially so much flowery language. Flowery language is poetic language. There might be a few of you, I remember, like John Piper as a pastor, he writes poems. He loves to read poetry. And boy, you have a pastor that does not like poetry. I'm not a poetic person. I like imagery. I like vivid language. But poetry doesn't hit me at all. Roses are red. Violet, like, that's as far as I could go with poetry. Roses are red. Violets are blue. You come to class and I love you. Right? Right? That's as far as I go with my poetry. Okay? It did rhyme. So, what do you guys remember then? What did we say about Isaiah 13 through 23? It was hard. I mean, the answer is already on the board. What's going on here?
Sovereign plan for the
nation. Okay, but not read it. Put in your own words. Like, what was happening here? What did we see last week? We saw
judgment.
We saw judgment against all of these different nations. We saw judgments against nations. And that's why it got a little bit hard. And if you didn't know what you were reading, you would just be like, this is judgment over judgment over judgment. But you have to actually look back and realize, oh, he was talking about different nations. He's prophesying against different nations. And then, where did the big transition take place? Chapter 24. Good. And that this next segment goes into chapter 24 through 27. And I said, you'll get to read starting Tuesday of this week. You should have started chapter 24, right? And you see a little bit more, it's a little bit easier reading, right? This is like, hey, we're finally getting the good stuff. Because I said what? I said 24 through 27 is like in music, there is a grand what? Finale. Very good. And 24 through 27 is the grand finale of God's part doing this, right? God's like, destruction, judgment, destruction, judgment, 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 destruction. This is what's going to happen to you. And then 24, it's like, this is why I'm doing this. This is where this is all going, right? And so what I want us to do is do a little project this morning. Okay, we're going to look at 24. And I want you to get into your little groups of max three people, and then I want you to break chapter 24 down. How would you break it down into three or four parts? Scholars divide it in three or four parts. So, I divided it in three or four parts. And so, I don't care if you break it up in three or four. It doesn't matter. How would you break it up? Okay, get into your groups. Maybe take one quick minute to do a speed read through it. And then talk in your groups how you're going to subdivide it. Okay? So 2 to 3 people in a group. All right, go. Just chapter 24, thank you. Whoa! Hey, brother. Welcome back. And Kelly, of course. Kelly's like, what? I get no love? I'm just like, it's like first time I've come here. Well, you didn't look at me. He looked at me, so I was like.
I see how it is.
Kelly's like, yeah, I get no love. It's my first time stepping into Sunday school in like 25 years. No, I'm just kidding. I know, I know. I mean, you're like 26. Fresh face, I like it. Okay, so what do you guys think? We don't need to take that long with this. You guys are mostly Asian, right? Okay. Chapter 24. All right, let's look up here. Let's see how you guys would break it down. Chapter 24 is, remember, we're, okay, let's go. You guys go for it. How would you guys break it up? Let's start with not kids, because you guys are not kids anymore, younger guys, and we'll work our way back. Over here, what's the first section that you guys would break apart? 1 through 3? Okay. All right. Next group.
4 to 13.
No, no, no. Like the first part.
1 through 5.
Oh, you would do 1 through 3 as well? Okay, next group.
1 through 13.
Next group.
1 through 13.
1 through 13. Okay, we'll go to the back. 1 through 13. Next group.
Same.
1 through 13. 1 through 13, and then it's okay.
Five, okay. 6 to 13.
1 to 5? Okay, that's fine.
6 to 13.
1 to 5, 6 to 13? Okay. Why would you guys mostly say 1 through 13? It seems like most of the class is saying 1 through 13. Why? Yes. Yes, Michael, you're a genius. See? Smart people know how to cheat, okay? All right, 1 through 13, devotional book. That's a good hint. Why do some of you guys say 1 through 5 or 1 through 3?
Because
Oh, you said 1 through 13? Okay. Why would you guys say 1 through 3 or 1 through 5?
I agree with 1 through 5, not 3, but
okay.
I talked a lot about the people.
Okay, you see a therefore, you see a break, you see a talk about the people there before, okay? Why would you guys say 1 through 13 is a break, besides the devotional helped you? Okay, because 14 really is a change of tone, okay? Change of tone. And 1 through 13, you said, is all about what, Joshua? The world what? World messed up. What does that mean? That's very cool language, but tell me, what? The world is messed up. The world is going to be messed up. The world messed up. There's no indicating verb, right? Or whatever that.
The world will become messed up. Okay,
okay, good. So the world will be, is what you're saying. The world will be messed up, is what Joshua's saying. Agree or disagree? Agree. And Ka-Ping said in the back, KP said what? There's a tone. There's a tone shift. There's a tone one, and there's a tone two starting here, right? The tone shifts. It goes from what to what? You use Chinese, it's okay. Destruction.
People has hope.
Hope, okay? From destruction to hope to praise.
Praise.
Okay, good. Okay, so where would the next section be? And I'll just say nicely that 1 through 3, 1 through 5 are wrong. Okay, that's okay. No big deal, though. The next section then would be 14 through what? We'll start from here. Or anybody want to take a guess? Okay, 14 through 16. Any other takers in here?
I agree.
Agree? There's a 14 to 16 agree. Anything else? No one else sees any difference here? Does it continue on to 18? No? Okay. Because 14 through 16 seems to be a tone of what? Hope. Oops. Praise, you said? What else? What is the hope and praise about? What is the hope and praise about 14 through 16?
The salvation, the king's coming, the reigning.
Okay, okay. We have a lot of good words there. Okay, wow. Whew, big one right there. Biggie. Okay, so you got what? You have hope and praise. I'm going to just change the color here so it's easier to see. So we got hope. We got praise. For what? Okay. You got God's glory. Someone said salvation. What else? Majesty of glory. Okay, that's kind of in God's glory. You said what? Salvation and what? Rescue or something?
Rain.
Okay. Okay. So you see a tone shift. Then, where would you break it next? 17, anybody? 17 through, want to give it a shot? 17 all the way to the end? 20? 23. We have a 23 group and we have a 17 through 20 group. What are we saying here? Who agrees with 17-20? Okay, we got a couple agreements. Who's saying 17 through 23? Why? Give me some reasons. Okay, what is 17 through 20 or 17 through 23? What do you guys hear? Do you hear another tone shift? Do you hear another tone shift? Or what? No tone shift.
I feel 17 to 20 is more talk about people.
Okay.
And then 21 is and then it's talk about God. That's
okay.
I think.
Okay, so 20 is talking about 17 through 20 is about people. 21 shifts back to God. I think what?
That 17 to 20 talks a lot about the present, but in 21 to 23 it talks about the future.
Because it goes in, so it will happen. Okay? Good? Okay. Be careful. Some of the verbs in our English may not necessarily reflect the actual Hebrew. They try to get it as much as they can. Sometimes they don't get the exact tense, you know, captured. You know, it's like a 80-90%, right? But okay, but that's good. But what is it really talking about in this third and fourth section? Tell me. What do you guys think? Okay, another punishment? Okay, so there's more. Okay, so we go back to a tone shift of punishment of what?
Wicked.
Punishment of the wicked. All those who do not have God, right? Punishment of wicked. Okay, so that's another tone. Does it shift again? Is there anything else? For those of you guys who see a 21 through 23.
The beginning of the new kingdom.
Oh, is that another tone shift?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean by beginning of the new kingdom? Do you guys all see that? What's another way to put what you see at the very end there? Ultimately what? Oh man, I'm like... Okay. Ultimately, God will reign, right? Okay, good, 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 good. Do you see now how I was saying, as you've been reading in your devotionals, okay, you've struggled through reading through this, chapter 13 through 23, chapter 13 through 23, you guys struggled in your daily devotions, and it's kind of like, oh man, tough reading. Someone even shared with me, man, I just ordered this stuff to go over with my kids. I want to do devotions with my kids. And dude, this is like brutal. It's a brutal month to do that. It's like the kids are like, I don't want to ever do this again, Mom. Right? This is like, what? It's not easy. But can you see now that as you see all this prophecy in this section here, that God is basically saying, all of you, you are against God. You are not even against God. You are indifferent to God. See, a lot of times today, we think of indifference to God as it's neutral. Like, well, I'm not for God. I'm not against God. I'm just neutral. But what is indifference? Is it actually for or against? It's against. Right? Even indifference is an attitude of saying, I don't care about you. Indifference is saying to God, I mean, I've heard quotes of like non-Christians who say, it's better to be a friend or an enemy. It's better to choose yes or no. The worst place to be is indifference. Because that's an attitude of, I don't even give a damn, is what it's saying. And so indifference is saying to God, I don't give a about you, God. I'm not against you. I just don't give a lick about you. Do you see what indifference does? And so even these countries who are either against God or just indifferent to God, they all get judged and they all get destroyed. And it was kind of hard reading for us. And what we see here in chapter 24, as you've been reading in your devotions this week, is this picture. It's a finale, right? And if you're curious, this is just how I've broken it down. I go 14 through 18, okay? But I'm okay with you guys going through 18 through 20, okay? I go 14 to 18. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but you can see what I've kind of put down as an outline here. You definitely see, yes, we're on the same page. We see a final judgment and destruction of the earth. I like Joshua's description. It's a little bit more colloquial for normal people, right? I say final judgment and destruction of the earth. And Joshua says, the world's going to be messed up, man. Okay? Great. That works. 1 through 13. I go 14 through 18, the first part of that, because we see both joy and sorrow. So you guys struggle with that. You guys saw that tone in there. You saw joy and struggle in 14 through 18. And I started the... excuse me. I started the after destruction at 18b. Okay? All that whole chunk, I went from like here all the way through to the end of having... You know, after destruction, God still reigns. Okay, I kind of, you know, so you could see how this could be divided into three or four, possibly even five parts. I just want to share with you that I broke it down into three. I struggled with that. I kind of went four in the beginning. But I ended up going with three, and most scholars are at about three or four divisions here. Okay, so you guys are not too far off. It's pretty good. I wonder if I even said just break it as much as you want. Some of you guys might have ended up with five, which is okay. You could see 14 through 18, some subdivisions there, or 18 through 23, and it doesn't have to be exact. But what do we see here, though, right? What do you really see when I say finale, when I say the grand finale of chapter 13 through 23, what are you thinking about? Hint. What Joshua said. What do you guys see? When I say, okay, there's all this judgment and destruction of all these nations, and then 24 through 27 starts this finale, and we see a lot of this language here, what do you see? What's happening? The finale means what? The end of what? The end of what? The end of the end of the end of what? The end of everything as we know it. The end of the world as we know it. Okay, it's a great song. Green Day, right? Okay? Right? Is it Green Day? No, it's not. Isn't it Green Day? Okay, so anyway, so we got Green Day, right, Kelly? Okay, good, right? Okay, so we have like the end of the world as we know it. I stop that. See, you messed me up. We have the end of the world. We have the end of everything. This is what this section is prophesying. When Joshua says the world will be messed up, a very colloquial way of saying this is final judgment and destruction of everything. Hey, the judgment of all nations was coming, and then there's a finale saying, dude, everything as we know it is gone.
You know,
Alex,
I was... Can I
share? Yeah! I gotta bring my hands down.
I was reading this with all this destruction, right?
Yeah.
No,
like the natural disasters that Savi talked about, right?
We live in California. I know the earthquake is
coming. Earthquake, man.
So anyway, it can be scary, but then at the end, I feel that, you know, whatever happened, God will protect us.
Right. You know?
There's a hope.
There is predicted the big one coming in California. We're all here. We're not too far from the major fault lines. I tell my kids, man, on a positive note, if we survive it, we might have beachfront property pretty soon, right? We might be able to go surfing very soon. I would love that, right? Just be able to like drive like 10 minutes away, 15 minutes and like surf. But I don't want to, you know, see all these dead bodies floating around, you know, right? That'd be horrible. Because that's what's going to happen. It will, the big one is coming. And so, good reminder.
Yeah, and so then at the end, then you see that God's, you know, it's okay. I mean, if we die, there's a better place to go.
Right, right.
We'll be fine.
Right, right. It's true, right? So there is a sense where you should be comforted. You know, dying is better. Dying is easy. Even when I was battling through cancer, it was like, man, death could be the easy way out of this. It's actually surviving, and if I had to go through chemotherapy, That would just suck. You know? Sometimes it's a living that's hard. It's being in a natural disaster and being the Christian who survives when all the rest of your family member dies. And God still says, I've left you here for a reason. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's, yeah, the big one hits in California and you're the only one of few Christians in our church that survived. What do you do? Are you still going to gather together as church, as the church? The building's gone. The building's not the church. We always say that all the time. I preach that all the time, right? We are the church. Are you still going to be together? You're going to find that two other people? You know, it's like Milton and Freeman are left. And be like, hey, 弟兄,小弟兄,老弟兄, hey, can we get together? We need to pray. Right? Who's going to be pastor, Freeman or Milton? Milton! Right, see? That'd be cool. But sometimes it's being left behind. That's hard, right? So I want to show you this, okay? The finale brings a summation and climax to a piece of music. So Isaiah 24 through 27 gathers all the themes of Isaiah and brings them to a great praise song for the God who rules his world in righteousness. See, remember, reading Isaiah, reading the Old Testament, what I said to another brother yesterday, the crispy part of your Bible, the part of your Bible that's all gold line, it's like, I hardly ever open, it's so crispy, but that's like two-thirds of your Bible. Oh, your Bible's blank. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, it's a journal. I'm like, whoa, this is a scary Bible, man. Milton's like, I make up my own words. Okay, so your Bible looks like this. This is New Testament. This is old. But we need to spend time in the old because it reminds us of God like the way he is. He's not changed. God has not changed. So we see a God who we can praise him for because he rules his world in righteousness. And Isaiah gives this glimpse of God's actions in future times. And here, the end of the world history is illustrated for us, right? So all the major judgments that are made in against all the nations flow into this grand finale of Joshua's phrase, man, the whole world is messed up. The whole world is going to be messed up. We need to be reminded of that, our God. Many things to be reminded of here, right? Mostly, men, women, and children move through their daily routines, assuming that everything will just keep on going. Right? We hardly ever think that the world is coming to an end. And that God is really quite tolerant of their indifference to him. We talked about indifference, didn't we? Most men, women, and children are like, I think God's okay with me not giving a damn about him. I think God's fine. He's pretty tolerant of me. God's a tolerant God, right? He's okay with me just not caring about him at all. Sure. Nothing could be farther from reality. And here, God reveals the end toward which everything is moving. You guys with me? Well, I want you to discuss in your groups. The world doesn't know that judgment and end is coming. However, of course, they don't live that in mind. But why do you think Christians don't often live that way? Hey, I could understand it if all your pagan, your non-Christian friends and family, they don't give a damn about God. But why do Christians sometimes don't live as if judgment and the end is coming? Talk about that in your groups, okay, for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys all talked about that through, right? You guys had thorough conversations. Why don't you think that Christians don't often live with the mentality that judgment and end is coming? What do you guys think about that? In the back.
Yeah, even we know the end of the world, but we immediately interview come after the few generations later.
Yes, right.
Yeah, not right now.
That's right, that's right. It's later. You know, I mean, we believe it will come, but not tomorrow. Not tomorrow, right? It'll come, huh?
Let's continue party.
It's what?
Let's continue
party. Oh, let's continue to party. Wow, even Christians have that mentality, you think? Hey, man, I got to live and enjoy this world. Judgment's not coming tomorrow. I mean, maybe in the time my kids grow up. Whew, thank goodness I don't have to face that end times. You know, Bethany and Corbin will have to survive. Their pastor's going to be Milton, for goodness sake. My goodness, right? We are in trouble. Right? What else? Why do Christians live this way? Go ahead.
We sort of have like our own timetable of how everything is going to happen. And maybe
yeah.
It's not even in our timetable.
Right. Okay. And when you talk about timetable, are you even talking about your own life? Or your timetable of God's timetable?
Well, I think mostly we don't even think about, like, personally, it would be like, we often think about our own, like, span out, like, we're going to live up to roughly this age, do all these things,
right.
And I'll
right.
pass away, die a natural death. We don't
right.
even have the perception of judgment can be tonight.
Good, right. So, because how many of you have plans in your life? Yeah? Raise your hand. Yeah? You have plans? You guys have plans? Good. You have plans. That's okay. So Kai's talking about you, Christians, right? Kai's saying all you Christians have plans, including yourself. Okay, good. So he puts himself in it. He said all of us Christians, we have plans for our life. I mean, some people have plans even on a Sunday so that, man, I just can't wait till get to Sunday evening, right? Man, I got to live it up. That's what it's about. We're not thinking about it. A possible judgment. We're not letting that affect our life. Right? Christians are, okay, so what else? Right? Christians have your life planned out. Your life is mapped out. Well, at this age, I'll be doing this. At this age, I should be doing this. In a few years, I should have this. I'm thinking about retirement. I'm thinking about this. I got my days planned out. Some of you are even like Michael, who's a party animal, who said, let's party, right? Or like Freeman, who's saying, you know what? It's coming, but later, way later. It's not going to affect me. So I don't need to change the way I live my life. So my question to you now is this. The world lives indifferent. And I put the Chinese word here because we have some Chinese brothers and sisters in the class. What does that say?
漠不关心.
Right? That's indifferent in Chinese. You see? The world says, I don't care. I don't care about God. I don't need God. I don't. Not that I'm against God. Because more and more people are having this attitude. I'm not against God. But I don't follow God. I'm neutral. You're not neutral. You're indifferent. Indifferent means you're saying, I don't really give a darn about God. And that's the world. But that's normal. But in what ways in your life do you find yourselves indifferent to God? Okay, this is going to be a little bit harder to talk in your small groups. But you can say, well, you know, Christians are indifferent to God because... And it won't be talking about you. You'll just talk about Christians. That's okay. But you should talk about you. But if you're not comfortable talking about yourself, just say, you know, Christians sometimes aren't different because... All right, but we know it's you. Right? Okay, so go ahead. Talk about this. And also, maybe think of what ways your life might need to be different if you live knowing that the end is coming. What value would shift in your life. I think some values are going to shift. Things that you value are going to shift if this applies to your life today. Okay, so talk about that in your groups. I'll probably end here. Okay, so what do you guys think? Like, can you guys see the way that this affects our life? This is what the book of Isaiah should help us with, right? This is what reading through some of these books that we don't go to often should do in our life. It should give us this type of perspective. It should cause us to reflect a little bit and say, wow, hold on, God. If all this is coming, what am I investing in? Okay? Someone said something in my life that stuck so deep into my heart. And he said, there are only three things in this world that are eternal. Three things. It is God, His Word, and people's souls. Those are the only three things that are eternal. Everything else in this world will be destroyed. And God will, as we see in prophecy, that God will restore a new heaven and a new earth. There's a whole rebuilding process. That after it is destroyed, there will be a new Jerusalem. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we will have resurrected bodies. We will have new bodies. I try to say that in the Sunday school class all the time, especially as we're going through Isaiah, because that's where it's all going. So if there are only three things that are eternal, God, His Word, and people's souls, what are you investing in today? Are you investing in the souls of the people around you? We will see one another in heaven. We will see one another there. We know we're going to be there in eternity. Are you living to find success in this world? Are you only pursuing what this world has to offer? You're trying to define your success in a world that will be destroyed. That does not mean Pastor Alex is saying, don't study hard. Oh, I'm going to go home and tell Milton's going to go home and be like, I'm just going to be a pastor with Freeman when the earthquake comes. I don't need to work hard on my grades anymore. I'm just going to study God's word all day and night and prepare to be a pastor now, right? No, that's not what I'm saying, right? But how do you work hard in this world knowing that your goal is not to find the success of this world? Amen? Right? You get that? How do you work hard in this world and shine as a testimony for all those around you, but your goal is not their success? Your goal is for something eternal. Right? That's the question. How many of you are carrying burdens today, stressed out and anxious, because the goals that you've set yourself are worldly goals? They are things that are going to be destroyed. And that's your motivation in life. And it's holding you almost bondage. It can't hold you bondage because you're saved, but it is kind of hindering you and is giving you stress and anxiety. Perhaps the Lord is reminding you, I'm living for the wrong things. It's not that I don't work hard and put my all into it, but I think I put my treasure in the wrong place. You guys with me? Okay. And perhaps you will experience more freedom in your life when you've redefined what's valuable, when you redefine what's success, when you redefine what is eternal. Right? And so I want to encourage you that this morning, that you wouldn't be only looking to doing well in this world, define well through the lens of the world. That we want a people of this church to work hard and excel. I honest to goodness, there's not one thing that I don't work hard at. Did I say that correctly? That I don't work hard at. If I'm going to wash the toilets, I'm going to wash that toilet so clean that you could lick it. Not that you'd want to do that, or that I've tested that, but I do that for the glory of God. I should wash the dishes at home all the time, but when I do, I don't just wash the dishes. I clean that sink. I wash everything around it. I try to keep that area clean. Why? Because Bex has a whip over me? She's going to crack me over the head? No. She's never asked me to wash the dishes. If I don't wash it, she'll wash it. But when I wash it, I want to do my best. How do you define doing well in a world that's going to be destroyed? What is that motivation for? Right? And the beautiful thing is, despite all of this destruction, despite all of, even as you recognize your own not living in that way and valuing that, and despite you identifying indifference in your life, despite the totality of destruction that Isaiah sees, some people of the earth survive. Some people of the earth make it through all this. And there is a song of hope and praise of God's glory and his rescue and his reign. Because ultimately, God will reign. Isn't that what we see in Isaiah 24? Because ultimately, God will reign and he will begin a new kingdom. So my question to you is, see, you see a picture of people singing, praising God. Hallelujah to God. I picture people with hands up in the air and just praising God and amening and hallelujah to the Lord for who he is, his greatness, his majesty, as somebody said. My question to you is, does the world see in your life a life that is of praise to God? Do they see? Because you know, if you're in the Lord, you're here. Auntie Kim can say, I'm okay with the big one of California because I'm here. I already have salvation, and my salvation is complete in the new heaven and new earth with my new body. Man, I believe that. Do you have faith that that's where we're all going? If so, you should have a life of praise like this. You should have this life of like, I have hope. I live with hope. I'm not encumbered down. Be happy people. That's another way of saying be blessed. Be happy people. Why do you always look down and miserable and sad and gloomy? I'm trying to beat this out of my son that sometimes when he gets sad about something, I hate this posture. Get up, son. Put your shoulders back. You are a happy boy. Because God is good. You'll never see me walk around like this. Shalom, I'm going to preach today. Let's open God's word. Man, let's open God's word. Let's praise. Let's be people of praise. Does the world see a people of praise here at our church? Or are you guys a bunch of gloomy people? Do you guys have a lot to praise for? Yes? No, you don't? Do you guys have a lot to praise for? Yes. Is God worthy of our praise? Yes. Amen. He is. Hallelujah. Live it. Say it. Can you guys say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Man, you guys are like stuffy, huh? It's hard, huh? Hallelujah. Man, be happy. God is good and God reigns already. Amen? All right, someone close for us in prayer. And also pray for Elder Chu this morning because he's coming to preach to us. This may or may not be, Pastor James and I are praying through whether or not we keep inviting him here. He almost doesn't want to be invited. He's like, it's your pulpit. It's your pulpit. You preach. I'm like, we want you to come, brother. Elder Chu, come. And he's like, fine, he'll come. But we are praying of whether or not we should continue this, because it's hard for him to even get up there. So if it is the last few times he's here, zone in, man. You're sitting at the feet of a very godly man. And he might be a snorer to you in terms of his presentation because he's like a grandfather. But there's a lot of wisdom in there that you could be blessed with. All right? All right, someone pray for us. Thank you.
Father, Lord, thank you that you have given us today. Thank you that you have taught us so much in Isaiah, how much that we should look for those who that does not know you and have compassion with them, even though that we know where we're going, but have compassion on them that they might not know where they're going.
Mm.
And Lord, we put today's sermon into your hand, and thank you that you have given us such a good elder. And give us our hearts so that we can praise you, that whoever that you put up at the pulpit, whoever that is the persons that will speak in your words.
Yes, amen.
And everything that in your word that is blessed. Mm. And thank you that you have given us a chance to hear whoever is going to be up there.
Yes.
And may our ear and heart open up to listen to your teachings. It's the words that we're listening, not the person, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you. In Jesus' name that I pray.
Amen. Thank you.